I'm not sure whether you all know that this is the last Sunday of 2024. So in a blink of an eye, we are actually going to a new year. And for this final Sunday, I thought of doing something slightly different, kind of continuing our Christmas sermon series about songs of Christmas, but now talking about song of our times. And the issue that I want to talk about is actually all around us, but then we don't take notice of it as much. Okay, so the issue that I'd like to share with you is this thing that I found is already a conversation happening in Singapore, like in society, with the government as well. It's about all the different generations in Singapore getting along, working together. So this is from CNA. It's not a Christian thing, okay, but it was an opinion piece 2 years ago talking about, hey, is there a generation gap where the different generations are having conflicts with one another? And then they went to do like a survey, and they realized that although most young people or most people don't think it's a major problem, they do recognize that even at the workplace, the difference in different generations can affect people's work, how they live their life. So something you realize also happens in church, and I think even more so. There's this book down here, okay. There's this book that maybe you saw before. It's called The Generations Project by Grace Works. You want to borrow my copy, also can. But yeah, this was a book written, a research project written about the Singapore church. Because a lot of churches have noticed that young people were leaving. And they were wondering, the older generation wondering, hey, why is this happening? So some things that I would like to highlight today to cover this is that right now, do you notice in our church, right? Like a combined service, if you were at Christmas service a few days ago, there are so many generations represented in our church. And this is not a normal thing, okay? To have 5 to 6 generations all worshipping together is quite a rare phenomenon. Because now with a longer lifespan, everyone living longer, we are worshipping together within different generations. But a thing to note is that if you want to build a church that's united and also diverse but interdependent, we need to understand each other, okay? And then I'm talking about not just a multi-generational church, okay? Multi-generation is just like, oh, you and I, we different generation, older, younger, sit next to each other. But then a very superficial, polite interaction. What we hope for the Christian church in Singapore, for our church, is we are intergenerational. It means that we actually have an understanding, we have equality, we choose to help one another, not superficially, but genuinely. Because if we don't do this, this is a problem that will come up. The problem is that each of us will have a stereotype of the other generation. So the older generation will think, wow, these young people, they come and just change everything. Last time we used to have this and that. Wow, they come in, change this. What happened to what we have in the past? You all don't care. And then the younger people think of the older ones, wow, why are they so slow to change? Why are they always nagging us about this and that? Then you realize that when you have this misunderstanding, you have stereotype of one another, oh, they're stubborn, they're naive. All this will come to the surface, and then, as you can expect, people get upset, angry, and it doesn't help because in most churches, right, they said 90% of Singapore churches or 99% of Singapore churches, they have a Mickey Mouse model of church. So the Sunday school, the children go one side, the youth ministry go another side, then the adult congregation as one, and then all the generations are like separated. They don't get to interact as much. But I have to say, in our church, it's a bit different. We are trying to be intergenerational, but I can say a lot of churches, this is the model. The youth do their own thing, the children do their own thing, and then the adults do their own thing. And then all these misunderstandings come up. And all this, I say, I feel, right, encapsulate in one phrase, I feel that we don't trust that God is working. We don't trust one another, and we don't trust that God is working within the different generations. So as I said earlier, right, this is something you may not talk about openly, but it's something you just feel. It's something you will talk about off the cuff or at a coffee shop, going to your car. You just say, hey, why these people like that? Why that people like that? I hope this morning what we want to do is to address each of the generations very briefly, but point us back to Jesus. To know that all of us, whether you're older or younger, we are all one in Christ. We are united in Christ and we are trusting in Christ as we live in each generation. So what I'm going to do this morning is a bit different. I will cover each generation and what are the concerns that each generation have. And through that, I hope that we get a glimpse of what struggles everyone is facing so that we can better love one another, but also point one another to Jesus. Okay, so this is something a bit different, but I hope you go along with me. So to do that, let us pray and let's ask God to help us understand better. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again as we are gathered here as one people. We know, God, that across generations, Jesus is Lord. And we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit illuminate your word for us. Help us to understand, God, what you are teaching us, what you are, how you're ministering to us, and also how you're rebuking us, challenging us, Lord. So help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So the song that I want to focus on today, right, is from the Psalms. Okay, the Psalms, they have said it is called the official hymn book for God's people. Okay, some of you are looking at me, what is a hymn book, right? Okay, the one in front of you, in your pew, right? Growing up, also grew up, you were actually open the hymn book, you see the number, the worship leader will tell you what number you flip to. And these songs are supposed to represent what is on our hearts. That the songs are expression of the emotions and values of our hearts. And we are going to focus on Psalm 37. And Psalm 37 is a wisdom psalm. Okay, and it reflects on the themes of the wisdom literature in the Old Testament. Particularly, it talks about what do you do when you see godless people prospering. So if you see like people who are wicked, evil, and they're doing better than you. Like how do we deal with that? Okay, and how we'll link that is also to talk about each generation and your living concerns and spiritual concerns. So if you haven't interacted more a lot with maybe older or younger ones, this can give you a glimpse of what struggles they actually face in the real world. Okay, so like starting off, we'll talk about the greatest generation, but specifically the silent generation. So those born between 1928 to 1945, so those who are 79 to 96 years old. So there are those handful of our brothers and sisters in Christ who are still around. And the formative things that happened to them that we never experienced is the Great Depression and World War II. Imagine that this generation actually went through a world war. And what they are concerned with, generally, okay, this is a generalization, but generally a lot of them are older and they're facing a lot of health issues. For those of us who are younger and well, it may be hard for you to comprehend every morning you wake up, the pain that you feel or the fear that you have that I'm going to fall down and hurt myself or I'm going to be a burden to my family. All these healthcare issues are there. And also, they have also social isolation, means their friends, maybe their spouse have passed on, they're a bit lonely, they're shut in. And so there's also that struggle they have. They're still wanting to live for the Lord, but they're feeling alone. How then do these silent generation people feel? And then if you think about in the church, for them, there's this archetype in this book. Okay, this book, they talk about like 6-7 archetypes. I just want to highlight two. Some of the older generation, the silent generation, they feel forgotten. So there's this quote that says like, many of my old friends are sick, no longer able to come to church. And then for those like me who are still able, we just feel like church has, we helped to build, right? They helped build the church. They have left us behind. There's this sense of loneliness. Or maybe they are like the pioneers. They have established the church, the different ministries, when no one knew anything about how to run a church. They were the ones who started it all. For this generation, I hope you can get a sense how difficult it can be in the church, outside the church, living when you're at this age. And also related to this, for the baby boomers, those who are born 1946 to 1964, those of them who are 60 and 78, like 60 years old to 78 years old, for them, you, or most of you here, I think are baby boomers, you have also have the values of what happened during the World War passed on to you by your parents. And for you, maybe the struggle you face is retirement. Because right now, right, most of you, if you haven't retired, you are thinking about retirement already. You're thinking about, do I have enough money to care for myself? And even thinking about caring for those of you who have aged parents, those of you who are unwell. And I remember one grandparenting talk we had a few years ago. The grandparents also say, hey, I don't know why suddenly my children have children, right? I have to take care of them also. It's not fair. I want to retire, go on holiday, enjoy myself. Suddenly I'm stuck at home. I have to take care of my grandkids. So there are all these, still these struggles for a lot of the baby boomers. And in the church, what they face is that they feel, some of us feel like, hey, this church, right, must be protect from the harmful influences of the world, or some Christians who are wayward, we must protect our people, or even traditionalists, those who feel that, hey, all these tradition, structures, hierarchies we have, right, they are put in place by our wise forefathers, cannot just take away or remove them so lightly. So after sharing about the silent generation, the baby boomers, I'm not sure whether some of you resonate with that, that this is maybe how you feel inside, like, you may not say it out loud, but then you feel that struggle, like, yeah, why church like this? Hey, how come, like, outside, we are still going through a lot of problems that people don't understand? So here is, at this point, I want to give you God's song from the Psalms, and particularly Psalm 37. And I thought it was very apt when I came across this. Let me read to you verse 25 and 26, okay? I have been young, and now am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. He is ever lending generously and his children become a blessing. So here, what you notice what the psalmist is saying. So I go back, right? The psalmist is now an older man or old man, and yet he can look back on his life and see that God has always been faithful, that even his children are not in lack. I wonder for many of you here, if I see it for our ZMS, maybe you feel you're older. You're the silent generation or baby boomers. You're facing a lot of struggles, either financially, physically, relationally. And maybe the question pops up like, hey, will God really take care of me? Things seem very bleak. I feel very alone. And I hear is this song, again, the song that we are supposed to sing, a reminder that even when we have been old, young and now old, God has not forsaken you. The reminder is that even in your older age or old age, even in the struggles you face, God has not forsaken you. And as God has been faithful to you when you were younger, God remains faithful to you. So this, I hope for the older generation, an encouragement as we go into 2025, God is still taking care of you. And for those of us who are younger, I hope this can be like a snapshot to know that our older generation is not so easy. It's not the stereotypes we have. They have their own struggles. But now let's move on to the next generation, those born between 1965 and 1980. Okay, this generation, sadly, they are also known as a forgotten generation because people tend to overlook them. But an interesting thing that the struggle they have is that they are also a generation that have left the church a lot. So, okay, firstly, some of their concern. As you know, the gen, those who are 44 to 59 this year, they have a lot of struggles with work-life balance. They're probably reaching quite advanced in their careers, and yet their children are still relatively young or going to be adults. So they are trying to balance that struggle. At the same time, they're also looking at job security. I've talked to some older Gen Xers, and they shared with me, it's interesting that at this age, right, you cannot just quit your job. Because you quit, doesn't mean that another company will want to hire you. They'll just look at you, say, compare you to a younger person, I'd rather go with a younger person. So there's this struggle, they have to be stuck in their work, and yet they're caring for their family, caring also for their parents who are older. So you notice this struggle they have. And what one observation that this book made that was interesting, this generation is the one with the highest turnover. Means almost 80% of the people they interviewed, right, who are in Gen X, they left their home church. And something that you notice in our church also, if you throw a stone, right, compared to other generations, there's not a lot of people who are Gen X. If you notice, especially our church is a bit unique, like, in our leadership God. Other churches, they're struggling to find people in this age range to become leaders. And why is that? Because a lot of these young Gen Xers, when they were younger, they served the church, they were youth before, they served very vigorously, very passionately, and then suddenly when they become parents, They said that the church don't care about them. That's what they said in the interview. The church felt like, you cannot help out as much. Okay, then never mind, I move on to someone else. Then they felt very forsaken. They felt like, why the older people don't care about us? And then the older people say to the younger ones, hey, last time I had also children, what? I also bring them to church. Why you all cannot handle? And that's actually what it was mentioned in this book. They were like, okay. So some of the Gen Xers, how they feel in the church is that they chose to be more family-focused. They feel that family is the most important thing. With all their commitments they have, right, I just want to go to church, enjoy the worship. That's how they feel. Or some of them are just very jaded. They just feel like, hey, I served the church in my youth, but then no one appreciates, I am just not worth it anymore. So they leave. And this is my experience as well, because the Gen X are like my koko and tetes growing up in the YF. And a lot of them, I don't really see them in our church anymore. So this is really happening. What then can we say to those who are Gen X, those who are going through these emotions? I think going back to Psalm 37 might be important. First, fret not yourselves because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers. And then in verse 7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourselves over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. So some things that you can notice in these two verses. Firstly, fret. What does it mean to fret? It means to be angry, to burn with anger, have a temper. And the psalmist particularly is talking about when you see evildoers or people who, they really are terrible people and they are doing well. The psalmist reminds you, fret not about them. And I think for those who are Gen Xers, if you feel angry about why is the church like that, why are even, I dare say, my colleagues, my friends doing better than me, even when I want to live for Christ? What the psalmist says is that to wait patiently for the Lord to act. And what does it mean to wait patiently? To know that you're quiet in the Lord's presence, to know that the Lord God is still on the throne working. I think for many of the Gen Xers, as I read this book, there is a sense of frustration for them. They feel like, why is church like this? How come they don't appreciate? Why do they don't change? And I think here, the reminder from Psalm 37 is that even when we think nothing is happening, God is working. The reminder that God is still on the throne, we need not fret, we can be quiet in God's presence and trusting in him. So again, a very simple verse, but I hope for those of you, maybe you're Gen X, you feel the same way what they say in the book. Know that the Lord knows and the Lord is telling you to wait patiently for him. Okay, then let me quickly go on to the next generation is the millennials. So this is my generation, those who are born in 81 to 1996. And those who are age-wise, right, 28 to 43. So if you are in this range, right, these are probably the concerns that they have, is that they grew up in a very peaceful world. So for millennials like me, right, we didn't have any major conflicts that we experienced. And right now, the struggle is high cost of living. If you ask any millennial in the workplace or who are working, right, they'll tell you, the inflation is terrible. You know how much I have to pay for eggs now? Or they're talking about, how am I going to handle my kids? I got enrichment, I got extra tuition, all the cost of living. And then they're also talking about job security. Hey, I want to have work-life balance, but then Singapore, very stressful. They ask me to work OT, I cannot leave until my boss leaves. So all these struggles that the millennials face, they're also hyper-connected. So they notice for millennials, right, they want a greater connection between what is happening in church and what they face every day. So what they face, the struggles with work-life balance or conversation with non-Christians, they feel a disconnect. They want to integrate it. And also, a lot of millennials, they don't have to stay in the church to do God's work. So what I mean, right, now with internet, now with connections or friendships, they don't have to wait for the church, the local church, to run ministries for them to do. They themselves, I've seen friends, they just go on their own, they form some group, start another ministry outside the church. Because they feel that God's concerns are more than what the church is doing. So for us millennials, what then can we say to us? What is God speaking to us when we face high inflation, high cost of living, work-life balance? I think verse 3 and 4 is a reminder for all of us. Verse 3, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourselves in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. So here, what the psalmist is saying, if I can go back, right? When he says dwell in the land, means it's talking about the promised land. It's saying that God will bring you to this promised land. And in verse 4, when he talks about the desires of your heart, okay, part of you may be very excited. Wow, God will give you the desires of my heart. Wow, finally, I get a high-paying job. Wow, finally, I don't have to worry about finances. Actually, what it's saying is that when you delight in the Lord, when you spend time with the Lord, He changes your heart's desires. Meaning, what you thought was important to you as a millennial or any generation, what you think is important, God will change your heart to really long for what He longs for, what He cares for. So something interesting for millennials, when we look at the problems you face, maybe your young parents, maybe you're thinking about your job security, God says that you don't have to worry about that. Because when you trust in the Lord, He will give you your desires. He will change your heart to actually know what is important. Is it really finding that 5Cs, finding that new condominium to live in, finding that next holiday, is that really that important? Or is it important to trust in the Lord and to long for what He longs for? So that's the millennials. And finally, for the Gen Z, thank you for your patience. For those born in 97 to 2012, I think this generation is very interesting because for them, their struggle is, or their formative years is, they grew up, right, with the internet. Okay, for us, I grew up in a time where last time I had a dumb phone, no internet one. Our Generation Z or Z and Gen Alpha, they grew up with, in a sense, a smartphone in their hand. They can Google any information they want. I cannot imagine what type of world that is. Like, whatever you want to know, you at your fingertips, you can find out. But their concern, I think, is a bit more forward-thinking. For them, they're thinking about climate change, thinking about global warming, what's going to happen to the world they live in. And many of them are also facing mental health issues. And this is across studies that you see, right? A lot of the younger generation are facing anxiety, depression. They're facing a lot of mental health issues that maybe the church doesn't talk a lot about. And in the church, what they feel is that for some of them, there's so many red tape in the church. You want to do this, must talk to this person, then talk to this elder, then make sure the session approved. Why need to go all this one big round? They feel frustrated. Or they feel that, they are tiptoeers. And this is what I've heard talking to the young people. When they are in church, right, they know about Christ, they know about, we must love one another. When they go to their classrooms and people are talking about LGBTQ+, people are talking about different sensitive topics, how then do they talk to them and yet don't alienate themselves? How do they talk to them in love and still be friends with them? This is a struggle that a lot of our young people are facing. And for them, I hope to encourage you. In verse 27 to 29, it says, or 28, turn away from evil and do good, so shall you dwell forever. So dwell is dwell in the promised land. For the Lord loves justice. He will not forsake His saints. They are preserved forever, but the children of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell upon it forever. So one thing that this verse may not be able to tell you how to talk to your non-Christian friends, but I think a bigger picture is painting for you is that the Lord knows the struggle you are taking, you're doing, especially for our younger people who want to live for God in the classroom, maybe in the workplace. God will not forsake you. I think this is something that you have to realize. For the younger people, when you are in that difficult conversation with a friend who is trying to push for a gender that is different from yours, know that the Lord will take care of you, that He is with you. I think overall, if you look at this very, very brief overview of all the different generations, do you notice something that all of us, whether you are young or old, we face problems? Whether it's problems with life outside the church or problems within the church. And I feel that the amazing thing that all the generations have is that we have God. And I don't say this lightly. All of us have the Lord God. All of us are worshiping the same God who saved us. That's why I wanted to read for our scripture reading verses 39 and 40. It says, "The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in Him." You know the article that I was referring to at the start about from CNA talking about the generational problem? You know one solution they had that I thought was very interesting? They said to find a solution to the generation difference, we must find commonality. We must find what is common across generations. And then as a Christian, as a pastor, I was reading that and I was a bit tickled because they are saying exactly what the Bible says. For us in the church, what do we have? We have Christ. As Paul says in Galatians, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." In Paul's time, they were facing, I think, an even greater problem about those who are Jewish or Jews or those who are Greek. And then Paul says that that doesn't matter anymore because we are all in Christ. And I wonder for us in our church right now, do we realize that across the generation, we have that key commonality, which is our Lord Jesus, that each one of us, whether you're young or old, have experienced God's love, have experienced His salvation. All of us here, if you are a true believer, if you have followed Jesus Christ, we can talk to each other, we can get along with one another, we have deeper relationships because we have Jesus, the one who all the problems we face have probably Jesus experienced them even more deeply. Do you feel forsaken because your friends are no longer with you? Guess what? Jesus felt the abandonment. Do you feel that you have to have difficult conversation with people who don't agree with you? Guess what? Jesus had to talk to a lot of people, religious leaders who did not agree with Him. And God promises that He is with us and that He gives us the Holy Spirit. Whenever and whatever problems we face, He promises that He will never leave us nor forsake us. For us as a church of God, church of Christ, I hope to leave you with you is truly it is Jesus. That whether you are older or younger, we can break that generational differences because we have Christ. And we can go through life because we have Christ. So some takeaways I would like to encourage you as we think about it. One is to be empathetic. Okay, because when you talk to a different generation, I tell you, we all have stereotypes, like we cannot avoid, like we all have stereotypes. When you see an older member in church, right, your mindset is suddenly thinking, this person confirmed like this or that. When you see a younger person making a lot of noise in the fellowship hall, right, young people must be this or that. Maybe we could just be more empathetic, be more curious, not judgmental. Or one thing that people have told me, we all been young before, you know, can be more patient with our younger people. And the other thing to encourage you is that as we go into 2025, do not lose sight of Jesus. In your Bible reading, if you want to join our Bible reading club, you can scan the bulletin QR code. If you want to think about your prayer life, how can we connect with God more and with one another? Are we coming to church, taking the sacraments? And I think the last one, especially for younger people, right? There are times we wake up, and honestly, I feel that way, like, I don't want to go to church there. Must dress up, must get ready. And I think the older generation is something that we can learn from them. Because the older generation, right, rain or shine, they'll be here. And I think that's something that the younger ones can learn from. And whereas the opposite, right, the younger generation, I have to say, are very, in our church especially, they're very patient people, you know. Because, a side note, right, when I ask the younger people, when you have combined BP meetings or you talk to your friends outside church, they tell me that, they'll ask, do you have a youth service? Then you notice in our church, right, we don't have a youth service, right? And then the young people, they reply to them, because we want to worship together. And I felt that was very patient of the young people to be able to reply like that, like, our church hopes to do it a bit differently. We want to worship together as one family. And so my encouragement for all of us, as I have experienced growing up, right, when I was a young person, I could look up to the Koko and Tetes in YF. when I grew older, there were the baby boomers who actually chill me out and talk to me when I'm having problems. They were the ones who reach out to me. And even now as, I'm reaching 40, I'm still trying to embrace that. I'm going to be middle-aged. And then interesting fact is that I can still look up to those who are older than me, baby boomers, the silent generation. And one thing I've learned is that for the older ones, they give you context to why our church is like that. Like, if you really sit down with an older person, and ask them, hey, why our church do this and that? Why we have, for example, worship in song? You go to other churches, they don't have this. You go and talk to them, you'll be fascinated, like, oh, there is actually a story behind it. And then when you're going through a difficult time, imagine you can still turn to an older person because that older person probably went through the similar problems you face, and to hear from them, how did they overcome it? And for the older ones to the younger ones, when you are very perplexed, why young people like that? Why are they always looking at their phone on the bus? They are glued, their eyes glued to their phone, is it? You talk to them, ask them, why do you are so connected? Why you always have to be gaming or talking to your friends? And I tell you, you'll be amazed what our younger people have to go through. It's a different world. Because in the end, right, we can have such conversation because we are one in Christ, united in Christ, we are trusting in Christ. I hope as we end the year and go into a new year, the reminder that we are an intergenerational church, hopefully, but we are all connected to an important person, and that is Jesus. And it's because we have Jesus that we can worship together. Come, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, as we meet to the end of the year, Lord, we know that we still face a lot of unanswered and unaddressed issues, a lot of problems or questions we still face. And God, even in a church that has different generations, I thank you, God, that you are with us. Whether we are younger or older, we know, Lord, that you will never forsake us and that we can trust in Jesus. That even in our older age, Lord, you will take care of us. Even when we are young and we are confused, God, you are with us. So help us as a church to love each other well, to know that we have Christ. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.